passionate instigator, and dynamic problem solver, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show. I am not Dr. Kevin, clearly. My name is Matt Connerton, and if you are a regular listener of the Dr. Kevin Show, you might be familiar with me. I typically join Dr. Kevin the first Thursday of every month to chew the fat, which is a terrible expression. I don't intend to ever use it again after today. I can't believe I used it in this instance, but yes, I do join Dr. Kevin once a month, and occasionally I will also join if he needs my help, like tonight, where he needs a guest host because he's busy with something. I don't know how much of his personal business he wants me talking about on the air, so I won't say what it is, but I will just say that the reason he can't be here, nothing's wrong. It's actually something very positive, so I'll leave it at that. He's a pretty open guy, so I'm sure he'll talk about it, or he has talked about it recently, what's going on, but something very, very positive. But he wasn't certain that he was going to be able to make it back in time for the show. So he did ask me to guest host. The last time I guest hosted for Dr. Kevin, he had arranged for me to I was supposed to interview his guest, and the guest never arrived on the program. So I ended up doing the show by myself, and it sort of became an impromptu bonus edition of my own show, Matt Connerton Unleashed. And my understanding is my guest this time has not arrived. So this might be yet another bonus edition of Matt Connerton Unleashed here on the Dr. Kevin Show. It's very odd that that should happen again, unless my guest suddenly chimes in. But if he doesn't, that's fine. Because I have been on a short hiatus. Actually, it seems like forever. I had some other business matters to deal with over these last couple of weeks. And so my program has been repeats over on IPM Nation. If this show turns out to be, this next hour turns out to be an opportunity for me to kind of say some things that I haven't been able to say on the air because I've been on hiatus from my program, that's fine with me because, my goodness, there is so much going on. Chris and I were just kind of chatting about that right before the show started. So I have been off these last couple of weeks, which in the Trump era, it's like being away for an eternity. I do return. A quick plug. Matt Connerton Unleashed will return live on IPMNation.com next Monday. So Monday of next week, I will be back. That show is Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern at IPMNation.com/live1. Or if you're in the Manchester, New Hampshire area, as I know Dr. Kevin does have a lot of fans in that area and a lot of listeners, you can also listen on WMNH 95.3 FM. Or you can watch on Comcast Channel 97 in that area as well. And then, of course, you can always get the podcast edition if you don't get to listen live. So there are all kinds of ways you can participate on the show. So as I'm sure you can imagine, I'm chomping at the bit because on that show we focus mostly on politics. I'm chomping at the bit to get back. I'll mention that if you are listening to this program live, on July 19th, 2018, on Ohm Times Radio, here on the Dr. Kevin Show. It is a call-in show, and you know, when I guest host, I have a terrible habit of forgetting to give the number. So I am breaking the pattern, as we say, in hypnotherapy, because I am also a certified hypnotherapist. We're going to break the pattern, and I'm actually going to remember. In fact, I'm already in the process of remembering to actually give the number. So if you would like to call in, 202-570-7057 is the call-in line here on the Dr. Kevin Show on the Ohm Times Radio Network, 202-570-7057. So if you would like to opine on anything that I'm discussing in the next bit, because it sounds like I'm flying solo again, feel free, 202-570-7057. If left to my own devices, I will ramble. But again, there is plenty to ramble about. I guess we'll start with this whole Putin thing you might have heard about with the president. I posted something on Facebook earlier today. You know, when discussing President Donald John Trump, the 45th and presumably final president of the United States. I'm kidding. But when discussing him, you know, very often people will throw the word treason around, particularly lately. Seen a bit of an uptick in that. Now, I am someone who believes in being very, very careful with the T word. It is not something to be used lightly. We heard it a lot during the Obama administration. Of course, Republicans would often, Obama read a speech using a teleprompter. He's committed treason. Things like that. It's just very, very strange. There's something, I think part of that came from, there was something about Barack Obama. I don't know if anyone else picked up on this. There was something about him that was a little bit different from previous presidents, almost something aesthetically about him that was just slightly different that I think some of his political opponents just had a real problem with. I can't quite say what it is, but but we're hearing the word treason a lot. Again, Chris and I were talking about this right before the show. And my comment, and I said this on Facebook too, you know, I don't like to overuse that word because I think if you're going to use that word, you know, you got to really mean it. Trump being an idiot is not in and of itself treasonous. We have crossed a Rubicon, I would say. Now, I'm not necessarily going with this where exactly you think I might be going with it, because I know a lot of people are using this word in terms of Trump's joint press conference with Vladimir Putin. I mean, we are going there, yes, in the broad sense. But I'm talking about something very, very specific that Trump said. Now, Trump did not, in my personal view, commit treason by having that press conference and acting so sort of subservient, in my opinion, to Russia. Again, I want to be very careful with that word, because I think that word should be applied to actions, the word treason. Actually, let me look here. This will be an interesting, just quick exercise. I want to look up, what is the exact definition of treason? Because maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the definition of treason is more broad than I think. Okay. According to the Google, treason, the crime of betraying one's country, especially by attempting to kill the sovereign or overthrow the government. The action of betraying someone or something. The crime of murdering someone to whom the murderer owed allegiance, such as a master or a husband. Well, I guess we'd be going with the first definition here. The crime of betraying one's country. Now, is Trump acting like Putin's puppy, Putin's sad puppy in front of the world? Is that in and of itself a betrayal of the United States? Some would argue that it is. I don't necessarily think that, but I think that we're coming perilously close when, and this is the very specific thing where I think you can apply this word, we're coming perilously close when the president of Russia makes an incredible offer. Yes, an incredible offer that the president just can't seem to refuse, that he's very excited about, Putin's incredible offer, because Vladimir Putin apparently has made an incredible offer, extended an olive branch, if you will, an opportunity to the president to go ahead and commit treason. Because, and again, in terms of this incredible offer, if the President of the United States actually hands over to the Russians a former ambassador or anyone else to be interrogated by Russian law enforcement, the Russian government, Russian intelligence agencies, etc., that absolutely, absolutely, 100% is treason. So that is what I'm really kind of zeroing in on. Now, that's a tangible thing that we can look at and say that's a very specific action that would be treasonous. Now, there's also theoretical, hypothetical treason. Again, I don't like to throw around the word too lightly, too loosely, but we don't know what was said between our president and Mr. Vladimir Incredible Offer Putin during that private meeting, because apparently it was just the president and Putin and a couple of translators or a translator. I'm not even exactly clear on that. Was there only one translator in the room? There's a movement to actually subpoena the translator, by the way, and have the translator go and testify. And basically, I guess the idea would be the translator could then reassure everybody, no, our president didn't promise anything he shouldn't have. It's all good. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think we'll ever know. But here's the thing, and this takes us down a very concerning road. Apparently, the Russians are already saying that they are prepared to go ahead and follow through the Russian military on whatever it is that that Trump proposed and agreed to with Vlad the Impaler, Mr. Incredible Offer, Putin. You know, they stand ready to go ahead and follow through with that. Now, Trump does have a recent history of, after meeting with a strongman dictator, making promises, agreeing to things without giving people a heads up, right? We saw that with Kim Jong-un. Trump said, "Yeah, you know what? We're going to go ahead and cancel these military exercises that we do with the South Koreans. I haven't consulted with anybody about it. I haven't bothered to tell anybody, but we're just going to go ahead and do that. I make these decisions bigly on my own. I'm Trump, and I'm just, you know, I can do that." So what the hell did he promise Putin that now is it is possible that the Russian military is just saying, yeah, we're going to go ahead and do this. This is actually a way of sort of you know, maybe there's nothing there, in other words. But they're using this as a way to kind of tweak and poke Trump in the eye and whatnot. Because Trump, after all, did reverse himself when he said during the press conference about, you know, U.S. intelligence. And this brings us to the other point. U.S. intelligence saying that, you know, obviously the Russians meddled in our election. And Trump said, you know, I don't see any reason why it would be the Russians. And then he later walked it back and said, I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be, although it could be somebody else. A lot of people out there. you know, maybe this is so maybe this is Putin and Russia kind of responding to that. And Trump sort of flip flopping on that. And they're like, hey, let's really mess with Trump. Let's go ahead and start putting out statements or little comments in the media that we are now going ahead and making the changes that we agreed to with the Americans as a way to just kind of screw them. That's possible. Now, I don't want to gloss over, of course, the biggest part of this that everyone is focusing on is Trump siding with Putin against U.S. intelligence agencies. Now, that's the part that people are focusing on the most, again, in terms of using the T word. Now, it's bad. I don't know that it's necessarily treason, because I kind of feel like, as awful as it is and as infuriating as that is and as frustrating as that is it treason? or is it just Trump being Trump? Now, again, like I said before, let's talk about actions. If Trump actually starts handing over American diplomats and ambassadors to the Russians, that's clearly treason. Okay, that we have crossed a tangible line. Trump babbling with Putin standing next to him about, well, you know, he said very powerfully and strongly he denies it, and I don't know. I don't see why it would be the Russians. It could be a 400-pound guy on his bed. Who knows? He didn't say that in the press conference, but he said that previously. And Trump likes to fat shame occasionally. He'll mention the 400-pound guy who may have hacked everything with a computer, which is funny, Trump fat shaming. I don't know if anyone's noticed, not to fat shame him, but, you know, well, he does live in a very much a glass house. Devin noticed. Dude's gained a lot of weight since he began his presidency. Anyway, but so people kind of focused on that first. You know, he publicly sided with Putin against our own intelligence agencies, and then he's got to read from this prepared statement the next day where he says something like, I said would, I meant to say wouldn't. I thought it would have been clear and obvious, but apparently I need to clarify it all for you people. That should clear it up. You know, I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be the Russians. And then, of course, he goes off script and says, or somebody else. A lot of people out there could have been somebody else. So the whole thing was terrible. But if we're going to apply, I mean, really, the whole thing is just such an embarrassment to the country, in my view. But if we're going to apply the word treason very specifically, again, I'm not saying it's not appropriate to use that word when making judgments about Trump siding with Putin publicly over his own intelligence agencies. I'm not discouraging you. If you want to call that treason, go ahead. I'm not discouraging you from doing so. I'm just saying, though, let's not bury the lead. Because the most significant thing to me is Trump talking about Putin's quote-unquote incredible offer and actually sounding like he's open to the possibility of handing over, there's a specific former ambassador, I forget his name now, who is particularly worried, who's been a severe critic of Trump. I mean, I'm sorry. Well, yes, he has been a severe critic of Trump, but also a severe critic of Putin, who is, who's going, oh, McFaul is his name. We got to take a break. We'll be right back. More of the Dr. Kevin Show. This is Matt Connerton. In for Dr. Kevin this week on Home Times Radio. Don't go away. More to come.
Conscious media for conscious minds. Home Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at AscendingHearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Tune in to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Mother, Mother Ocean.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Buffett. West Indian manatees are one of the most unique animals on Earth, and we're still finding out so many new things about them. But manatees are endangered, and many of them are killed or injured each year because of watercraft collisions or other human activities. You can help save these gentle marine mammals. For free tips on what you can do, call Save the Manatee Club at 1-800-432-JOIN. Thank you.
everybody. Welcome back. You are listening to the Dr. Kevin Show on Om Times Radio. This is Matt Connerton in for Dr. Kevin this week. For the second time in a row that I've guest hosted for Dr. Kevin, we have no guest for me to interview, so I am flying solo, but that's okay. If you missed the top of the show, I have been on a short hiatus from my own program on IPM Nation, where I discuss politics. I'm back on Monday, but this is helpful, actually, to me, kind of getting me back in the groove of talking about all this stuff. And there's been so much going on, as there always is in the Trump era. Chris was just telling me during the break, Devin Nunes, apparently, he's a Trump ally, of course. And remember the Nunes memo and all the drama around that. TheHill.com is reporting that he used political donations for $15,000 in NBA tickets, winery tours, Vegas trips, according to a new report. The Hill reports that Nunes, who is chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, used money from his PAC to purchase Celtics tickets three times last year. According to McClatchy's analysis of reports from the Federal Election Commission and two watchdog groups, his PAC, called New PAC, that's clever, not, has also footed the bill for lavish Las Vegas events since 2013, spending a total of $42,741 on catering, rentals, hotels, and meals, McClatchy reported. The most recent Las Vegas expenses were noted in March when the group sent $7,229 at seven restaurants and hotels, McClatchy reported, adding that the PAC spent thousands at six wineries in Paso Robles and Santa Margarita, California. Now, it also noted that the wineries are located outside of his congressional district. See, that's disappointing on another level. If he's going to do this, he should at least do it in his own district, you know, spread the wealth locally. My goodness. The PAC spent $5,000 one day on a limousine service. A separate $44,000 charge is listed for the Sea Venture, a beach hotel about 20 miles from Santa Margarita, McClatchy reported. All of the transactions are listed as fundraising expenses, according to the article. You know, I read something like this, and I start to think, I miss my calling in life. I should have, instead of commenting on politics, I should be in politics. I mean, if you can maneuver yourself into the right situation, you get all kinds of free stuff. You can live the high life. And if eventually you get caught, whichever party you belong to will defend you vociferously and say it's a witch hunt. It's great. Maybe it's not too late. I mean, I'm still a relatively young man. Maybe I can get in on some of this. The House Ethics Committee prohibits the use of leadership PACs for personal use. However, lawmakers are rarely punished, McClatchy noted. Lawmakers are rarely punished. How shocking. Campaign Legal Center in Issue 1, a watchdog group, released a report on Thursday, today, detailing how lawmakers on Capitol Hill use leadership PACs to pay for lavish lifestyles. See, that's why I'm telling you, I missed my calling. Got to get in on this. PACs are supposed to allow politicians to donate money to other campaigns. However, the new report estimates that only 45% of the money given to leadership PACs over the last three election cycles went to other candidates or committees. All right. Devin Nunes. He's on his way out, though, right? He's not running for... I don't think he's running for re-election. He won't. Nothing will end up happening. It's like that guy, Blake Farenthold from Texas, the congressman from Texas who resigned in disgrace over sexual harassment allegations. And it turned out he used that that program, whatever it's called, where, if you're in Congress, you can get the taxpayers to cover your settlement for you, and you don't have to pay it back. But, of course, he took advantage of that. Then when he resigned, he said, I'm going to pay that money back to the taxpayers. I'm going to write a check addressed to the U.S. Treasury. I'm going to hand it to Paul Ryan to deposit. I'm going to pay back the taxpayers for covering the bill for that settlement. And then he got offered a gig as a lobbyist somewhere, I forget where, making, exponentially more money than he was making as a congressman. And then he said, Oh, yeah, that whole paying it back, never mind. My legal counsel has advised me that I should pay back nothing, so I'm just not going to now. And Blake Farenthold goes off into the sunset, having not only screwed the taxpayers, but promising to unscrew the taxpayers and then screwing them anyway. Good for him. By the way, if you've never seen Blake Farenthold, it's kind of an old story now. Some of you might not remember him, but I mean, it's not that old. It's actually relatively recent. The Trump era has caused so much time distortion in my own mind and perhaps yours. I mean, it feels like he's been, doesn't it feel like Trump has been president for 20 years? It's exhausting, fatiguing, as I heard someone recently say. But anyway, so sometimes it's hard in my mind to even figure out, okay, this thing that happened, like with Farenthold, was that 6 weeks ago? Was that 6 months ago? Was it 6 years ago? Yeah, I know it wasn't 6 years ago. But anyway, if you've never seen the guy, go on YouTube and look up Blake Farenthold. And then you might think, when I see a guy like Blake Farenthold actually on television speaking into a camera, and I think to myself, there are people in the state of Texas who actually voted for this guy who I wouldn't trust to run a Taco Bell. There's people in Texas who actually thought that this guy should represent them in Washington. And then I find myself having these thoughts like, you know what? Maybe the anarchist libertarians, maybe they're right. Maybe government really can't do anything good, because when we choose people to run our government, this is the quality of person. I mean, seriously, like if Blake Farenthold showed up to mow my lawn, I'd be like, I don't know, dude. You sure you're up for this? Anyway, I will not say anything more about Blake Farenthold, but I except to say this. The first time that I saw him being interviewed on one of the cable news shows, I was like, wow. Just put it that way. Let's kind of circle back quickly because I couldn't remember his name. Michael McFaul is the gentleman who is particularly concerned about the possibility of being sent to Siberia to be tortured by the. No, I'm sort of kid. I probably shouldn't even kid about that. But he is concerned about being turned over by the Trump administration to the Russians. It's incredible. Madeleine Albright, former Secretary of State during the Clinton administration, she is slamming the White House for even considering a Russian proposal to interrogate the ambassador, Michael McFaul. CNN Politics reporting today, former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright slammed the White House for considering a Russian proposal to interrogate Americans in exchange for assistance in the Mueller investigation. Oh, yes, did I forget to mention that? That was the other part of Vladimir Putin's incredible offer. It really is. It's incredible that they would help. I can't believe I forgot about this. Not only will they be happy to help interrogate Americans, they will help with the Mueller investigation. So kind, the Russia probe. Actually, it makes sense if you think about it. I mean, we call it the Russia probe. Why not? Why wouldn't the Russians want to be in on that? I mean, the name of their country is in the thing, Russia probe. Very exciting. What an incredible offer it is. I can see why Trump was gushing about Putin's incredible offer. I mean, you know, hey, look, if someone, I don't know about you, but if Vladimir Putin came to me and said, of course, I would need a translator. I wouldn't be able to understand him. But if he came to me with a translator and said, I have an incredible offer for you, I would be like, I don't know if it would even matter what he was offering. I would just be like, I can't believe Vladimir Putin himself is actually offering me something. Little old me. This is amazing. What an incredible moment this is. I got to, Vlad, I need to pull out my phone and record this if you don't mind, because nobody's going to believe that I met you and that you offered me something. This is truly an incredible offer, and I haven't even heard your terms. So I don't blame Trump for being excited. You know, in his mind, I mean, he's very easily excited, I'm sure. Well, maybe not that easily excited. He is in his 70s now. That's a little bit of an off-color reference. I apologize. But let's see. It says here, Russian President Vladimir Putin, again, this is from CNN Politics, raised the idea in his summit talks with President Donald Trump on Monday, according to White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders. The Americans wanted for questioning by Moscow include Michael McFaul, the former U.S. ambassador to Russia, who served during the Obama administration, and American-born financier Bill Browder, who successfully lobbied the U.S. government to impose new sanctions on Moscow. In an interview with CNN's John Berman on New Day, Albright was asked for her reaction to the White House's consideration of the proposal, which she said was, quote, outrageous, because the ambassadors, they are representing the United States. We have to be supportive of them. It is the whole process of diplomacy. And this is not, and this not only undermines Mike McFaul, who really is an incredibly good and smart diplomat and somebody who understands Russia, but everybody, unquote. Albright, who served during the Clinton administration, also added that it was the job of the U.S. government to support their ambassador, quote, because the jobs are very hard. It is the job of the State Department and the Secretary of State and the President of the United States to stand behind our ambassadors and not just kind of put them out there for bait. I think it's outrageous, unquote. Well, I would tend to agree. Hillary Clinton, a former Secretary of State herself, also criticized the Trump administration for their consideration of the proposal. Clinton tweeted this morning, quote, Ambassador at McFaul is a patriot who has spent his career standing up for America. To see the White House even hesitate to defend a diplomat is deeply troubling, unquote. Oh, by the way, let's be clear. It's beyond hesitating to defend him. I mean, Trump isn't going to defend anybody he doesn't like. That's just who he is. And he doesn't like McFaul. He's been pretty clear about that. But, you know, to actually even I understand Trump is confused. So let's assume for the moment that he's not compromised in any way, and he's just a very confused older gentleman, possibly showing early signs of dementia, et cetera. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. how this could even be in his mind as something that he should even say out loud in front of other people. You know, again, we don't get to know what was said between the two of them because it was just them, just the two of them. We can destroy the United States if we try. Little song parody there. I got to get back into the habit for next week. Not only do we not get to know what was said, but I'd be curious to know, like, whose idea was this, really? You know, Trump framed it as an incredible offer, right? What if it wasn't really an incredible offer? What if it was Trump's idea? What if Trump was like, hey, tell you what, try not to make any more trouble, Vlad, and maybe we could give you this McFaul guy. You can do with him as you will. Something like that. We got this former ambassador. Maybe you could do a little waterboarding. Would you like him? I'm serious. I want to know whose idea it really was. Was it really an incredible offer, or did they cook this up? I have this idea. I'm going to give you this Browder guy, this McFaul guy. But we'll say it was your idea. We can't say it was my idea. If we say it was my idea, I might be ridiculed. But if we say it was your idea, and then I'm just agreeing to it, then it'll seem perfectly reasonable to everybody. And then I'll say that I have no reason to think that it would be Russia that hacked us. And then later I'll say I meant wouldn't. But in the moment, while you're standing there with me, I'll say would. Oh, yes. Trump, he's so Machiavellian. Let's see. There is more here. Again, this is from CNN Politics. Russian media has said McFaul was named as a person of interest in the ongoing investigation into Browder and related matters. McFaul was U.S. ambassador to Russia when Obama signed the Magnitsky Act into law, imposing harsh sanctions that Browder and McFaul supported. And by the way, you may have heard or read about the Magnitsky Act, which did in fact enact some very harsh sanctions. And this has been a very sharp thorn in the side of Vladimir Putin. And so this all kind of makes sense if you think about it, right? This is why McFaul is a quote-unquote person of interest to the Russian government. It's more, you know, he's simply their enemy in their eyes. And in Trump's eyes, probably, I guess, right? Because I'm sure Trump would. I mean, look, if Trump can do something about the Magnitsky Act or do something to mitigate the effects of it, then Trump looks like a hero to his buddy Vlad. And if Trump can please Vlad, who knows what other kinds of incredible offers might come pouring in. It's very exciting. We could be swimming in infomercials of incredible offers. Let's see. After Sanders' comments, McFaul wrote on Twitter. So this is, imagine what's going through his mind, by the way. Mike McFaul, former ambassador to the United States, who I'm sure never in his wildest nightmares would it have occurred to him that this would even be a scenario that anyone anywhere would be discussing. Here's what he tweeted. I hope the White House corrects the record and denounces in categorical terms this ridiculous request from Putin. Not doing so creates moral equivalency between a legitimacy U.S. indictment. I think he meant legitimately U.S. indictment of Russian intelligence officers and a crazy, completely fabricated story invented by Putin. And I'm sure he probably also thought when he was writing that tweet, plus I don't want to go there. That's crazy. Can't turn me over to them. All right, more Dr. Kevin Show coming up right after the break. We are live on Ohm Times Radio. Matt Connerton in for Dr. Kevin. There's more to come. Don't go away.
The Real Conscious Connection, Ohm Times Radio, IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hi, I'm Kelly Fox, host and astrologer of The Astrology Show. Each week, I'll give you access to the current transits, which are a valuable tool that provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has. Understanding the stars can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, be sure to tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance, Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
This is why you work so hard to pay the mortgage. Because home is more than four walls and a roof. It's that porch swing and a summer evening. It's everybody over for Sunday dinner. And your family sleeping in their own beds at night. Making Home Affordable is a free government resource that can make paying the mortgage easier. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov.
Good night, Mama.
This is why. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. You are listening to the Dr. Kevin Show on Ohm Times Radio, changing the world one ohm at a time, as Dr. Kevin likes to say. This is Matt Connerton in for Dr. Kevin this week. Dr. Kevin is, if you're joining us late, he is attending to some other business. No worries. He's fine. Everything's good. What he is doing is very positive, and I'm sure he'll talk about it next week on the show. If you're a regular listener of the program, you might be familiar with me. I typically join Dr. Kevin the first Thursday of every month, but occasionally he will ask me to fill in as a guest host, or you know, or if a guest bails on him at the last moment, sometimes he'll have me call in to join him in that capacity as well. But this week I'm guest hosting, and it's just kind of funny. I'm flying solo. The last time that I guest hosted for Dr. Kevin several weeks ago, the guest never arrived, so it's just me. But so same thing this week, kind of weird, but that's okay. It's given me a chance to kind of catch up on some things. My own program, Matt Connerton Unleashed, which you can hear on IPMNation.com, has been on a short hiatus last couple of weeks. I return on Monday. So this is kind of getting me back in the groove of that, talking about politics. And very often on that show, I'm by myself. Sometimes I'll, you know, we'll have a co-host on that program or a guest or someone, but sometimes I go on and just kind of monologue and catch up on things. And, you know, we live in an era where the news cycle just moves so quickly and there's so much just fantastical, things to talk about. I mean, again, like I was saying before the break, I'm sure, former ambassador to Russia, Michael McFaul, I'm sure he never imagined in his wildest nightmares that there would ever be a discussion about the possibility of allowing the Russians to interrogate him. And I don't think anyone would have imagined that this scenario would ever be taking place. And look, let's be honest, it's probably not going to happen. But, you know, I was commenting about it earlier on the Matt Connerton Unleashed Facebook page. Please give that a like, by the way. I was saying that, you know, I don't think this is actually going to happen. But if it does, if Trump actually were to go through with something like this, that very clearly would be treason. You know, no ifs, ands, or buts. That is clearly a treasonous act if he were to do this. And it looks like he's trying to or the White House is trying to walk that back and not take Putin up on his incredible offer. But somebody commented that Dr. Jeff Cassell, who's a friend of mine, commented that if Trump were to actually go through with it, it would be the end of his presidency, to which I said, no, I don't think it would be. I don't think it would be the end of his presidency, not with a Republican-controlled Congress. I think if he did that, it would be serious enough, certainly. I mean, for any other president, it would be the end of their presidency, but Trump is different. You know, Trump has managed to pull off the greatest, and I know I say this somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but I don't necessarily mean it to be funny. I'm kind of serious when I say this, actually. Trump, somewhere along the line, figured out how to pull off the greatest exercise in mass hypnosis potentially ever in American history, because if you are a Trump supporter, if you voted for Trump on election day, you made a, whether it was a conscious decision or a subconscious decision, and again, I think in those terms because I'm a hypnotherapist, but you made a decision in your mind, if you voted for him that day, that you are with him no matter what. No matter what crazy stuff he says, no matter what crazy stuff he does, you made a decision in that moment that there is nothing, or perhaps it wasn't even in that moment. Perhaps it was in the moment where you first decided to support him before you actually voted for him. But whatever it is, at some point during your becoming a Trump supporter, something happened in your mind where you made a decision that there is nothing, literally nothing, this man can ever do that will disappoint you, that you cannot somehow rationalize or justify in your own mind or with others. People talk about the standard for the presidency having been lowered so much. It's more than having had been lowered. It's been taken away. It's gone. There simply is no standard, because if you're a Trump supporter on some level, you believe him to be the risen Christ, not literally, hyperbolically, but he does essentially walk on water as far as you are concerned if you are a Trump supporter. The cognitive dissonance is shocking. And so, no, it would not be the end of his presidency. if he actually did this, if he actually committed this, if he were to go through with this incredible offer, it would be treason. But what would happen is this. Republican members of Congress would chide him and very gently criticize him for maybe a day or two, for a couple of news cycles, and then they'd let it go. And life would go on. I don't know what would have to happen for Trump's presidency to actually end premature. Well, I do know what would have to happen. We all know if Robert Mueller comes up with an indictment or something of Trump himself, you know, that would be, which I don't sense is where that's all headed, but it could be. It could be that, you know, something forced, that would be the end of his presidency. But Trump going through with this and committing this act of treason that he publicly flirted with while standing next to Putin, wouldn't be the end of his presidency. It would be beyond disgraceful. It would be disgusting. It would be horrifying. It would be, you know, not to be overly dramatic about it, but on some level, it might even be the end of America, just in terms of, not literally the end of America, but yeah, I'm getting a little esoteric with it. But the acceptance, the fact that 40% of the country, the 40% or 43%, whatever it is, that approves of Trump, because his approval rating is remarkably stubborn. No matter how bad it gets, no matter how much of a buffoon and imbecile he appears to be, his approval rating remains very stubborn. But again, we know why, right? Because if you are a Trump supporter, it's ride or die, as the kids say. You know, it's you're with him no matter what. I mean, back at the beginning of his presidency, I used to say, only half joking, that if Trump got us into a nuclear war and caused global thermonuclear Armageddon, any Trump supporters unlucky enough to survive would be laying around, you know, while they're coughing up blood, dying of radiation poisoning, they'd be laying around going, well, I'll tell you, that Trump, he really showed a lot of courage. Obama wouldn't have had the guts to get us into a nuclear war, but Trump, he's a leader. He did what had to be done. And I say that only half kidding. And the half that I'm kidding about is, no, I don't really think Trump's going to get us into a nuclear war. That's the part I'm kidding about. The part I'm not kidding about is, if that were to happen, I'm completely serious. If that were to happen, I truly believe any surviving Trump supporters would still support him, even as they're dying from radiation. They would, to their last breath, they would be marveling at what an incredible leader he was and how great the economy was toward the end of, well, toward the end of existence of life on Earth. They would. We've seen prior presidents who do enjoy that some sort of the reverence of a deity by part of their base, right? Reagan, certainly, you know, St. Reagan, as I like to refer to him. There's a large swath of conservative Republicans who love Reagan. He is the patron saint of conservatism. And they were willing to overlook things like Iran-Contra and whatever else. And not just on the right, but on the left, too. Look, Barack Obama, there's definitely a section of his base who, no matter what, I voted for him in 2008. I went for an independent candidate in 2012 because I tend to vote for independents. But, you know, there's a lot to like about Obama, but there's also some key ways that he really let me down. But there's a part of that base that would never be disappointed with anything Obama did or failed to do that he promised to do, you know. So he enjoyed some of that, too, I think. Whereas other presidents, much less so. You know, Richard Nixon, you know, his party abandoned him, and I don't mean that in a pejorative way. I mean, they had to, right? They had to get him out of there. Bill Clinton, You could argue, actually, you could probably argue that he did enjoy some of that, because even, you know, when he was being impeached, it actually made him a more sympathetic figure in the eyes of many. But there's also a portion of the liberal left that actually felt somewhat betrayed by Bill Clinton in terms of some of his economic policy. So no, I wouldn't say Clinton enjoyed that same sort of level of blind worship. George W. Bush, definitely a lot of discontent with him among a swath of the Republican Party that didn't approve of the Iraq War, didn't approve of a lot of things, didn't approve of torture, et cetera. So, but we've never seen a president in my lifetime who has enjoyed the level of just blind, unfailing devotion that President Trump does. So no, I mean, Trump could actually do this. He could actually do the most just other things too, other treasonous things, right? And it wouldn't matter among his base. I mean, honestly, as bad as it is, I would not be shocked, and I'm not the only one to say this, I won't be shocked if he wins re-election in 2020. What has to happen for him to win re-election? Everybody who voted for him the first time has to vote for him again? That's easy enough. They will. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that somewhere out there isn't someone who voted for Donald Trump who doesn't now regret it. Of course there is. There has to be somewhere, right? I don't know where. Whoever that person is, I haven't met them, but I'm sure they're out there somewhere. But no, it's like Obama said, you know, he gave that speech where he said, it's like we've seen the end of shame, you know, like there's just nothing matters anymore. Words don't matter anymore. Lying doesn't matter anymore. It's all good. It's really pretty incredible. And his own party, the only people in his own party who stand up to him are the ones who feel like they have nothing to lose, the ones who are on their way out already, like, you know, like a guy like Bob Corker. He's not running for re-election. He's already figured out he can't win re-election, so he's on his way out. You know, Trey Gowdy, who he tries to be loyal to the president, but he has Trey Gowdy, though, to his credit. And, of course, Trey Gowdy, who really became a household name during the Benghazi hearings, but he's not running for re-election, and I do believe that this is part of the reason why he has he tries to do it gently, but he has been critical of Trump in that, you know, in terms of Trump's questioning of the Mueller probe, you know, talking about whether or not, you know, maybe to fire Rosenstein. Trey Gowdy has been one of those voices on the right who has said, look, I don't believe that Trump colluded, and so therefore he should stop with the threats of, you know, firing Mueller or firing Rosenstein or anything like that. Let the process play out if he really didn't do anything wrong. Stop acting like he's guilty. You know, but again, Trey Gowdy, a guy who, granted, he was pretty tough on Peter Strzok, which we didn't even get to, but we're almost out of time, actually, but got a few minutes left. But Trey Gowdy, not running for re-election, so, you know, he can criticize Trump. But other than that, I mean, for the most part, they're very, you know, they try not to do it because they know it hurts them. The only reason, see, if Trump were, you know, it's not like in previous administrations where the party could just turn on you. Like, I remember 1992. And I remember that very vividly because that was the first election that I was old enough to vote in, 1992, Bush versus Clinton versus Perot. And the Republicans had no problem abandoning their president, George H.W. Bush. You know, and by the way, George H.W. Bush, who had a 90% approval rating at one point. I'm not kidding. Those of you who are too young to remember, believe it or not, that happened after the first Gulf War. And then the economy fell into the toilet one day, and so did Bush's approval rating. And hence Bill Clinton became the next president. But our 42nd president. But But, you know, the Republican Party, they have no problem running away from George H.W. Bush. But they're terrified to run away from Trump. Because they know what I was just saying a few minutes ago. They know. They get it. If they run away from Trump, they will lose. They'll get primaried by a pro-Trump Republican who wants their seat. Because that's, like I said, it's the greatest example of mass hypnosis in the modern era. I mean, there is an analogy in terms of mass hypnosis, but I'm trying not to use it because people overuse the whole people overuse analogies to Hitler and to Nazis and whatnot, so I try to avoid. But that is obviously a historical example of mass hypnosis, what Hitler was able to do, right? Again, I'm not comparing Trump to Hitler. That's why I try to avoid using those analogies, because I don't want to go down that road. But we're out of time. So thank you all for joining me on the Dr. Kevin Show. My name is Matt Connerton. Check out Matt Connerton Unleashed over on IPMNation.com. Thank you to Dr. Kevin for asking me to fill in. Thank you to Ohm Times Radio. Always a great time. And thank you, all of you, for listening. And I hope to talk at you again soon. Bye, everybody.